following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230, that's 821-1230, to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask, here on AM 1230 WYTS, every Sunday morning at 9. Today is a beautiful day, and for those of you who were partying a little bit because of St. Patrick's Day, which of course isn't until the 18th, but I know there were lots of St. Patrick's Day parties going on, and I bet some of you are probably still up drinking that green beer, and some of you are feeling green. Don't forget to brush all the green food and beer off your teeth. And just so that you know, stomach acid is bad for your teeth, so if you happen to have any of that, or had any of that, make sure you rinse your mouth out really well. Before we talk again, before next Sunday's show, spring will have started. Spring is March 20th. And that's the day when we have equal darkness and daylight. And so I've already noticed a bunch of people that are out washing their cars, and that's really nice to see. But I want to say I think we tend to take care of things that are important to us. So if you're out there washing your car, that shows me that it's important to you. So how about scheduling your long overdue dental cleaning? Call your dentist and get in and get your teeth cleaned as well. All of you people that are washing your cars this weekend or washed them yesterday or going to wash them today, use that as your excuse to call up your dentist and schedule. I think, you know, sometimes we actually take better care of our cars than our teeth. And, you know, I hear all the time from people who say, well, I don't have dental insurance, so I can't come to the dentist or I can't get my teeth cleaned. And yet, we all know that there's no such thing as car repair insurance, but when our car breaks, we get it fixed. We find a way. So, anyway, you know how they say change the batteries in your smoke detector on a certain day, kind of tie that to a calendar. Well, how about spring or washing your car, reminding you to wash your teeth, so to speak. I'd like to congratulate the Ohio State University Buckeye basketball team for beating not only Wisconsin, but then top-seeded Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament yesterday, and they play again. I'm going to wish them good luck today when they take on Purdue for the tournament championship. I believe that's at 3:30, I think. Also, congratulations to the Blue Jackets, who've recently beaten the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks as they battle for the fourth playoff spot in the Western Conference. They're playing great hockey right now. Good luck with the Red Wings, and I believe that's at 5 o'clock this evening. For those of you that don't know, our show is available by podcast. And what you do is you go to AM1230WYTS. And once you get there, to put your button or your mouse over the on-air button, a list of names pops up. Drop down to Dr. Kavitko and click on that, and it will take you to my page. There's a smile there. And then there's also a picture of a polar bear getting a root canal. Being done at the Pittsburgh Zoo. Anyway, in the middle of that page, it says click here for podcasting, and you can click there and listen to any previous show. Our show is a call-in show live, so feel free to give us a call at 821-1230. Or you can send an email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. We'll be changing that email address a little bit in the future here to make it jibe with the actual name of the station now, but having a little trouble getting that switched. So anyway, for now, it's Dentally Speaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. Now, I have some announcements. And, one of the things I'd like to point out, those of you that have heard about this new magazine called Capital Style, It's currently available and out there, and I am fortunate enough to have been featured in a small article on page 74, so you can turn to page 74 in Capital Style Magazine and see my picture, see what the voice looks like. Also, this Friday morning at 11, tune in to NBC4, March 20th, that is, which actually is the first day of spring, and watch Daytime Columbus with host Gail Hogan. Why? Because I'm going to be a guest on her show. I'll be showing how I use a trial smile to do my smile makeovers, and I'll be showing a before patient. We're going to have a patient come in to show what her smile looks like now. And then on April 24th, Gail has invited us back, to have me back on her show, to show this same patient's after, to show what her smile is going to look like after I've made it over. So please tune in for that. In 2 weeks, my guest on the show will be Dean Carol Anderson of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry. I'm looking forward to that. She was recently named dean after serving as interim dean for 2 years. And I believe it was the end of January, maybe beginning of February. And I know she has a lot of plans for the dental college, and I'm very excited to have her. Looking forward to that. On April 29th, I will be a celebrity guest judge at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry Clinical Excellence Day. And I think that's a very neat event. I'm proud to have been asked to be a participant, and I look forward to doing that. The day after, April 30th, I'll be an awards presenter at the Clintonville Area Chamber of Commerce's Good Citizens Breakfast. And this is where kids that are doing well in school, have they're active in the community, they're basically the future leaders of the country, are honored for their hard work and good grades. And also, I'm very honored to be a part of that as well. And then, let's see, a couple more things. On Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., my staff and I will have a booth at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium as we participate in the Columbus Parent Magazine Expo. And there will be thousands and thousands of families. I heard something like 35,000 people attended last year. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. I know, I think it was it last year or the year before? I know Jack Hanna was able to be there. I don't know if he'll be there this year, but I'll try to find that out. So, also, don't forget to call us or send us an email if you would like to be notified when my upcoming book called Dentistry for Kids, What Every Parent Should Know, is available. You can call my office at 614-262-9588. My staff will be happy to take your name, number, or email address. Or you can send an email to drkavitko@aol.com, and we will keep your name on file so that when the book is available, we'll let you know. Now we want to move on to Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And today's question of the day is, according to a New York Times report, what percent of children and what percent of adults have untreated cavities? All right, it's a two-part question. What percent of children and what percent of adults have untreated cavities? And so when you call in your guesses, try to remember to give us two guesses, and I'd be interested to find out what people think. Who's higher? Do children have more untreated cavities, or do adults have more untreated cavities? It'll be interesting. Now, today's show is going to be about things that are in the news, you know, things that are happening in dentistry. There's a really neat one that I just found out about. It was presented at the the American Dental Association Midwinter Meeting in Chicago. And it's about Novalar Pharmaceuticals has created a drug called Oroverse. It's the first local anesthesia reversal agent that accelerates the return to normal sensation and function for dental patients who undergo soft tissue anesthesia. I think this is really neat. I've wondered why we haven't had a drug like this for a long time. When I do intravenous sedation on folks, I have reversal drugs. So if I determine somebody has received a little too much, a little deeper than I want, I can give them a reversal drug. But there's never been a drug that would allow me to do that to reverse the effects of local anesthetic. And I know one of the biggest concerns people have is, I can't get my filling done at 10 because I have to give a talk at 2. Or you know, have a big meeting, or I talk for a living. I'm on the phone, whatever. Now, it's just released, so I have not used it yet, although I will be pursuing the purchase of some of this to make sure that I have a chance to provide it to my patients, because I think it's going to be a great, great adjunct. It's approved by the U.S. FDA as safe and effective for adults and children 6 years and older who weigh at least 33 pounds or more. So I'm not sure what the problem with under 33 pounds is, but one of the very well-known people in dental anesthesia, Dr. Stanley Malamed, who's a professor of anesthesia and medicine at the University of Southern California School of Dentistry, his quote is, "Oroverse will provide dentists with a convenient alternative for completing routine dental procedures that allow patients to comfortably return to their daily routine." And Dr. Malamed is very, very well-known, well-respected, has written several textbooks on dental anesthesia and dental conscious sedation and IV sedation. So look for that. And if you're one of my patients, make sure you ask me if I have it yet, because I want to make sure that I do. I don't want to let this one, you know, sit on the back burner. This, to me, is very good. Now, we also have, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but there's also an anesthetic that came about maybe 10 years ago that is longer acting. There's an anesthetic we have that allow us to keep a person numb for about 7 hours. It doesn't work that long in a lot of people, but it works that long in some. And that's been great for me, because I do these long appointments where I've sedated a person and we're doing a total makeover or something, and they might be in the office a whole half day or an entire day, and I can keep them numb. So it's nice that we're getting more and more choices for the local anesthetic. Now, some of those stories in the news are neat, like that one. Some of them aren't so neat. Some of them aren't so fun as a dentist to read. And this headline I'm going to read, it says, "California dentist found guilty in TMD groping trial." Now, TMD stands for temporomandibular dysfunction, oftentimes known as TMJ, temporomandibular joint disease. Anyway, a California jury has found a dentist who claimed he was trying to help female patients suffering from temporomandibular disorder guilty of 11 counts of felony sexual battery and one misdemeanor sexual battery, according to news reports. Mark Anderson, DDS, of Woodland, California, was arrested in September of 2007 for allegedly touching the breast of one patient. 26 other women eventually came forward with similar reports. The incidents occurred between February of 2005 and August of 2007. His dentistry license was suspended after his arrest, which is, you know, good. You know, well, let me just finish giving you the little bit of info, and then we'll talk. During the six-week trial, defense attorney Michael Rothschild argued that Dr. Anderson was treating his female clients for TMD by using massage techniques in the upper body. A prosecution expert testified that some dentists believed chest muscles are related to TMD problems. The defense also claimed that women were on medications that distorted their view of what happened. In addition to the guilty verdicts, the jury found Dr. Anderson not guilty on two felony counts. I guess, yada, yada, that doesn't really matter. His sentencing is set for April 24th. That would be next month. And faces up to 14 years in a state prison if convicted. Also, apparently, some civil lawsuits have been filed. Well, you know, when I hear a story like this, it just really, really irks me. It just gets under my skin, because I spent my life trying to help people obtain dental care, calm their nerves, make them feel, you know, good in the dental chair, good about coming and calling and comfortable when you're there. And, you know, our question today, unfilled cavities, our question of the day, has a lot to do with a person's fear of the dentist, all these different reasons for not coming. And stories like this just give people one more reason why not to come, which I think is an absolute travesty. I don't think that story actually gave the details. Tell you what he was doing was he was supposedly massaging the person's TMJ, and he would work his way down the shoulders and onto the chest of women. In fact, he was fondling their breasts. It's like, we don't need that in dentistry. There is no dental purpose for that. I don't care what this gentleman says. I don't know what, I mean, I've read the articles. He claims that the muscles are all related, and that may well be well and good. But there are lots of other things that can control a person's tension and pain, and they're not under the purview of dental care, doesn't make it legal just because it might resolve somebody's discomfort. Anyway, if you have any comments, if you've heard this story and want to give a call, I'd be happy to see what you're thinking out there. 821-1230 is the number. You know, I would say probably, I don't know, at least 50% of my patients are women. And I was doing an intravenous sedation patient not that long ago. It was a woman, and she was a nurse, and she'd been reluctant to have intravenous sedation for quite a while, even though she was very nervous and kind of squirmy in the chair. And I think it got to the point where she just felt like, you know what, I'm going to try it. And when we did it, she was very surprised, because I think as a nurse, she knows when somebody is put under general, that means having an EKG machine placed, which usually is anywhere from 5 to 12 leads. And these leads are put all over a person's chest and torso, and sometimes a little bit on the back, so that the electrical current can be tracked from the both sides of the heart. And I think she was probably thinking, in fact, I guess I don't know, so I won't say that, but I think she was thinking, I'm not going to open up my blouse in a dental office, okay? Because here's how I know that. When we went to do the IV, I have these little wrist paddles. They're little plastic things that just kind of squeeze your wrist. You just, almost like a big paper clip. And one goes on the right wrist, one goes on the left wrist, and that's it. There are no leads on your chest. And we do that for a reason, because we want your confidence. We want to know that you know you're going to be safe and comfortable and nothing bad is going to happen. She said, I've never seen a setup like this before. The only other thing, of course, she had a pulse oximeter, a little finger clip goes on her finger to help us know how much oxygen she's receiving, how much, her beats per minute. And then there's a blood pressure cuff on, which takes blood pressure every 5 minutes or so automatically. And then the only other thing that we do is there's this little, you know, the size of the stethoscope that your doctor might listen to your breathing or your heart. It's a little bit smaller than that. And it sits right below your Adam's apple in the notch. You can put your finger in there. Like that notch is like surrounded by bone. Right below where a gentleman might have his beard hair stop or something, there's a notch there. And we put this precordial stethoscope right there. It's kind of on with a little stickum. And that's hooked up to a Bluetooth-enabled earpiece that I wear. It looks like I'm wearing my Bluetooth-enabled phone, my telephone, which I always tell people when I put that on, I'm not, you know, talking to people on my cell phone. I'm listening to you breathe and listening to your heartbeat. So, you know, we've done a lot of things, and I think dentistry has done a lot of things to make everyone feel comfortable about coming to the office, and we don't need these kinds of stories. We don't need, you know, if you're a dentist out there and you're not outraged by this story, I don't know what to say. Because I think that this just sets dentistry back, you know, 10 years. So what I'm trying to say is this story, and I'm sure you've heard a little bit about it, and if you haven't, it'd be very easy to look it up. I imagine you'll be hearing more stories because he'll be sentenced on April 24th. This story, this does not happen very often. If you're in a dental office, a dental setting, see, the women didn't realize, or at least they said they didn't realize in their testimony, they thought that they were the only one. And the one woman specifically said, I was afraid that if I went to authorities, it would be my word against his. And so she said nothing. And it took 27 women before one got up the nerve to say something. And then the other 26 came forward. So, anyway, if there's something like that happening to you in a dental office, tell somebody. Because it shouldn't be, it hurts the profession. That's not what dentistry is about. We're about helping people with their teeth, helping people be healthy, get their smiles back. I know I meet people on a regular basis who have avoided the dental office or the dentist in general because of something that has happened in their life, and it could be anywhere from a story they've heard. It could be something that's happened to them, or something else that is keeping them away from the office. And honestly, the only one that's going to hurt is you, the patient. All right, we'll take your calls at 821-1230 when we return. Also, your guesses to our question of the day, which is, what percent of children and what percent of men, according to a New York Times report, have untreated cavities? You're listening to Dentally Speaking on AM 1230 with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Good morning. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for sticking with me over the break. Another story that's in the news. This one's kind of neat. It's about scientists have discovered why teeth in mammals but not sharks form in a single row. This is from a February 27th article in Science Daily. And what it is a system of opposing genetic forces determines why mammals develop a single row of teeth while sharks sport several. Now, when completely understood, the genetic program described in the study could help us, or could guide efforts to regrow missing teeth and prevent cleft palate, which is one of the most common birth defects. Gene expression is the process by which information is stored in genes, is converted into proteins that make up the body's structures and carry its messages. So, for example, as the baby's face takes shape in the womb, the development of teeth and the palate are tightly controlled in space and time by gene expression. Related abnormalities result in the development of teeth outside the normal row, missing teeth and cleft palate, and the new insights suggest ways to combat these malformations. So, we've been studying this for a while, and, you know, sharks continue to grow teeth throughout their lifetime, and so we feel like if we can somehow harness this information that we would be able to grow new teeth in humans, and looks like we're getting a lot closer. This study was in mice, but past studies have shown that the same biochemical players are active in humans as well, so that's neat. According to Dr. Rulan Jing, PhD Associate Professor of Biomedical Genetics in the Center of Oral Biology at the University of Rochester Medical Center, this finding was exciting because extra teeth develop from tissue that normally does not give rise to teeth. He said it takes the concerted actions of hundreds of genes to build a tooth, so it was amazing to find that deleting one gene caused the activation of a complete tooth developmental program outside of the normal tooth row in those mice. Finding out how the extra teeth developed will reveal how nature makes a tooth from scratch, which will guide tooth regeneration research. So that's, to me, that's pretty neat. I'd love to see that in my lifetime. I mean, right now when somebody's missing a tooth, we have bridges, we have implants, partials, that sort of thing. But it would be really cool if we could just grow a new tooth. Now, if you're one of those people that hasn't been to a dentist in a while, don't stay home feeling like I'll just wait till technology catches up and I'll come in and have new teeth grown, because I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. And I have heard of cases where people, you know, they say that, well, I need this, but I'm waiting for the technology to improve. So don't do that, please. Okay, let's see. Let me just look at this study. When we lose our baby teeth, the permanent teeth grow in to replace them, but permanent teeth, when they are lost for good. U.S. adults aged 20 years and older are missing an average of 4 teeth due to gum disease, trauma, or congenital defects. Of course, tooth loss makes chewing difficult, causes speech problems, accelerates otherwise your other oral diseases, and it can be disfiguring to your face. Years ago, back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, in order for a woman to look more attractive, if she wanted to look like she had high cheekbones, they would extract the back teeth. Of course, we don't do that anymore, and which is good, of course. So anyway, that's a new up-and-coming study, and I hope there's going to be many more. Now, a gentleman by the name of dentist by the name of Nizar Mansour is a practicing Michigan dentist, has developed technology that will allow the procedure that you're having done in the dental chair to be videotaped while it's being done. Now, some people might, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some discussion about whether this is an invasion of privacy. Do people want it photographed or videotaped at all? But the advantages, according to Dr. Mansoor, are that we might not have to write in a person's chart anymore, because if everything is on tape, we can always refer back to that. He says he wants people to see what he's doing. He also wants, it's a way of educating people. So it's not just preserving a record of what he said and done, but it's a way of showing people what he has seen while he was in there. So anyway, he says, you know, it's a common thing. I mean, what am I trying to say? It's both. He can protect himself and educate you. I don't know what you think about that. Certainly your comments are welcome. So if you would like to chime in on whether you think it'd be a good idea to videotape all of your dental work, let me know. What it is this camera attaches to the light, the operatory light, the light that shines on your mouth while he's while the dentist is working. And then it's hooked up to a recorder. And it's just recorded forever, I guess. It just, you know, it's always there and can be referred back to. Now, I know I have some patients who want to see what I'm doing. They're always trying to look in the mirror and get a good look. But others are grossed out by anything that has, you know, a dental drill involved or bleeding of any kind. So I'm not sure. I do think I'm going to investigate it. It looks like it might be kind of neat. Of course, I can't see this catching on right away. I see this will be kind of a slow, maybe a slow burn, where dentists kind of grapple with what the benefits as opposed to the risks. And obviously, there's going to be a cost involved. So anyway, we will see on that. When we come back after the break, we have some more interesting stories to go over with you. Remember, our number is 821-1230. The email address, if you want to just send us an email, is dentallyspeaking@yahoo.com. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, and we'll be right back after the break.
Tell me you will stay.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. And today, we're just talking about a lot of different topics in dentistry. I do want to give out some guesses we received to our Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, which was, according to a New York Times report, what percent of children and what percent of adults have untreated cavities? We received a guess from Jimmy, who says 41% of children and 52% of adults. That's incorrect, but thanks very much, Jimmy. Randy sent in a guess, 25% children and 17% for adults. So he thinks there are more children with cavities than adults. And Jimmy thought there were more adults that had cavities untreated than children. We're going to find out here later on in the show. Thank you for your guesses and keep them coming. I want to talk about a study about how sound and light changes in a dental visit, how they can improve the visit for a child. A trip to the dentist can even make the most easygoing child nervous. I think some parents know that. There's a new study from Israel that suggests that altering the sensory environment in the office, particularly sound and lighting, can considerably lower children's anxiety, especially for those with developmental disabilities. So, a quote from the authors from the Journal of Pediatrics, February of 2009, is, many children are subjected to unnecessary pain and suffering and often fail to cooperate and overcome fear during healthcare treatment. So they propose that apart from traditional modes of anxiety management, such as conscious sedation, stress-reducing medical devices, behavioral relaxation, and pharmacologic analgesics, that another option be used, which is sensory adaptation of clinical environments. Sensory Adapted Environment, or SAE, has been proposed to improve the quality of life of varied populations sustaining anxiety, pain, and unrest, including individuals with developmental disability like Alzheimer's disease or traumatic brain injury. The authors also wrote, the physical environment includes special lighting effects, relaxing music, vibration, and aromas. This is the first study to focus on altering the sensory environment as an alternate method of stress reduction, according to the lead author, Michael Shapiro, MS, of the Izzy Shapiro Educational Center in Riona, Israel. Shapiro and her colleagues chose the dental office for the study because it served as a suitable model, they noted. Fear factors at the dental clinics include noises, odors, bright lights, intrusive contact, and anticipation of pain. Quote, lighting, touch, the angle of the dental chair, deep pressure can all make an impact on a client and help him or her to feel more comfortable during anxiety-provoking procedures. She also stated in an email, once the dental staff recognizes this need and offers this alternative, we may find that there is a reduction in pharmacological use and perhaps even reduction in general anesthesia in some cases. So, you know, I agree with this. I already do a lot of this, I believe. We offer music through headphones. We have pictures on the ceiling, TVs on the ceiling for people to watch their own movies, DVD, bring their own DVD, VHS tape. We have a cassette player in every room if somebody wants to bring a book on tape. We do have patients who don't like the bright light, and so we'll turn it off, turn off the room light. And, of course, we have sunglasses for kids because the bright light does kind of bother them, so we can help block that out as well. The researchers looked at the influence of a sensory-adapted environment on 35 children between the ages of 6 and 11. Each were scheduled for 2 routine dental cleanings. 16 of the children had developmental disabilities, so approximately half, a little less than half. Quote, it is known that children with developmental disabilities need more intensive dental care, and we were interested in knowing if SAE could benefit them along with the typical developing children. So, I thought it was kind of funny that they decided to use the dental office as their test, but, I think that's very suitable. For each child, one dental visit took place in a typical dental environment with fluorescent lighting, overhead dental lamps. During the other visit, the children were treated with a sensory-adapted environment without overhead fluorescent lighting or overhead lamps. Instead, dimmed fluorescent lighting and a slow-moving repetitive color lamp were used. The dental hygienist wore a head-mounted lamp directed into the patient's mouth. The children listened to soothing music and were wrapped in a heavy vest to create a hugging effect. The researchers found that while the adapted environment had a significantly calming effect on all children, those with developmental disability relaxed to a greater extent. This was observed by duration of negative behaviors and electrodermal activity before and during professional dental treatment. So, the duration of anxious behavior, both behavioral and psychological, dropped from an average of 3.69 minutes to 1.48 minutes in typical children, and 23.44 minutes to 9 minutes in children with developmental disabilities. So, it was cut in half, more than half, in the children without developmental disabilities, but by two-thirds in those with. Another quote from Dr. Shapiro, this study demonstrates that in the context of delivering medical and dental care to both typical and very challenging group of children with developmental disability, a sensory-controlled environment that is, SAE, it may represent an important substitute for the commonly used alternatives of pharmacological sedation or even general anesthesia. Now, there are a lot of children who do need to be put under general to be treated. And even Dr. Shapiro is mentioning here that this procedure may not be suitable for all dental procedures or all clients. Certainly something, though, to think about and try. Her goal was to simply see that we would not like the dental staff to simply see this as a purchase of equipment only, but rather as a process of learning about the different sensory systems and their influence on behavior. The deeper understanding would facilitate enhanced utilization of sensory adaptation during different dental procedures. So, I think this is great. I think it's probably just putting a name on something that I've just inherently understood over my almost 30 years as a dentist, which is you have to, distract person, try to take them to another place so that, and we have the lavender warmed neck wraps and paraffin wax hand dip for the people that want that, and anything that we can do to make their visit that much better and more comfortable so that it doesn't even feel like it was a dental appointment. And I can tell you that especially in kids, with those televisions that we have, they don't even acknowledge me hardly anymore. I mean, I'll say, how you doing? How are your teeth? Are they clean and shiny? And they just keep looking at the television, which is not bad, because they're having fun. They don't even realize they're having an appointment, it seems. When we come back after the break, we'll continue this discussion. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS. We'll also give some more guesses to our question of the day, and we'll be right back.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. Let me give a couple more guesses to our question of the day. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day this day is, according to a New York Times report, what percent of children and what percent of adults have untreated cavities? Ricky sent in a guess of 17% for children and 19% for adults. Angela sent in a guess of 31% for children and 28% for adults. So again, she believes that maybe adults have fewer cavities than children, and Ricky believes adults have more cavities than children. Untreated, we're talking about. So neither of those are correct, although very close in Angela's case. So we will see. We'll give out the answer here in a little bit. The March 3rd, 2009, Science Daily, a story about a team of researchers led by Professor Dr. Thymios Mitsiotis at the University of Zurich, Switzerland, has identified a gene responsible for the formation of enamel, which is the key component of the teeth. The experiments were accomplished in mice carrying a deletion of the transcription factor TBX1, a gene that plays a principal role in several human malformations, such as heart, thymus, parathyroid, face, and teeth, associated with DeGeorge syndrome. Quote, subjects afflicted by DeGeorge syndrome exhibit teeth with enamel defects. We have demonstrated that a direct link between impaired TBX1 function and enamel defects exists. Enamel forms via the mineralization of specific enamel proteins that are secreted by dental epithelial cells called ameliablasts. Our results clearly show that teeth of TBX1 null, meaning teeth that don't have TBX1, lacked enamel, and ameliablasts, explained Professor Mitsiotis. These findings were just published in Developmental Biology, and represent a major contribution to the understanding of the production of enamel, the hardest organic tissue found in nature. So if we can figure out how enamel is formed, or rather what inhibits enamel formation, we might be able to figure out a way to get enamel to grow back. In the case of, hopefully, you know, in the case of cavities, to heal. We'll see. Is it possible to use dental stem cells to stimulate the growth of new enamel? This represents the biggest challenge in the discipline of tooth engineering. Our results show that TBX1 is involved in the maintenance of dental epithelial stem cells that are responsible for ameliablast formation. In some cases of genetic tooth anomalies, regeneration and repair of teeth could be treated by stem cells. Aggregates of dental stem cells could be used in the future for local transplantation in the dental tissues, explains Professor Mitsiotis. Now, we all know that President Obama just recently signed an executive order lifting the ban on federally funded stem cell research. And so, you know, maybe something will come of this. Now, this you might remember this researcher was in Israel, but maybe there'll be some U.S. researchers that take up this question now that it's been cleared. In fact, there is an American group of researchers from the University of Oregon that have shown a relationship between another transcription factor, CTIP2, and the production of enamel. But in the words of Professor Mitsiotis, our investigations better demonstrate the lack of enamel in teeth. So it's nice to know that they're both working on it. And again, I think that would be very, very nice, very helpful if we could repair enamel. You might have heard me say before that dentistry is one of the few professions that has been actively trying to put itself out of business, and doing a pretty good job, you know, if you think about it, because the incidence of decay has gone way down. People are not winding up complete denture wearers like they used to. I mean, my parents' age group, those folks that fought in World War II, most of those folks wound up denture wearers. And for people my age, which would be in the 50s, not 1950s, but 50 years old, it would be rare almost for someone my age to be wearing dentures. At least if they were, it was because it was their choice, because their dentist probably tried to convince them that they didn't need complete dentures, but they wanted them anyway. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of gum disease out there, a lot of people even younger than 50 who have had to lose all of their teeth, but we're doing a much, much better job of maintaining teeth and helping people keep their mouth healthy. Let me go ahead and give the one last answer to, or rather guess to, the question of the day. It's because I'm afraid sometimes I get busy and forget to give the answer. We had a guest here from Scott, and Scott says that he thinks 20% of children have untreated cavities and 24% of adults. And the answer is 27% of children have untreated cavities and 29% of adults have untreated cavities. Now, I think that, first of all, now we know kids have fewer than adults. And I'm not sure, I think some people thought it would be the opposite, and I'm thinking that would have been because adults, you know, have more time to, they can just go and take themselves to the dentist, they can go in and get their mouth taken care of, and the kids are relying on their parents, plus the kids they eat more junk. So anyway, there's your answer, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that and the incidence of decay and some other things. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
Do you make me smile? Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Today we're talking about, or actually before the break, we were talking about cavities, the incidence of decay, how many children have untreated cavities and how many adults have untreated cavities. And nationally, those numbers were 27% for children and 29% for adults. Of course, we've talked a lot about why is that. I think one of the things that we talked about is fear of coming to the dentist, and how we're trying to do so much to make people feel better about picking up the phone and giving us a call. One of the things that people might not realize is that bottled water is low on fluoride. Some parents give their kids bottled water or filtrated water, but they don't realize that that water doesn't contain the optimal levels of fluoride that are needed to prevent tooth decay. Some companies sell bottled waters with added fluoride, however, and so if you want to find a list of those companies, I have a website for you. It's www.bottledwater.org/public/fluoriday, like fluoridation without the T-I-O-N, .htm. Only waters that have added fluoride, with added fluoride, must list the fluoride content on their labels. So if they haven't added fluoride, it doesn't have to list it. Keep in mind that some home water treatment systems, including those using reverse osmosis, which, by the way, is used here in the coffee lounge at the Clear Channel, and distillation can reduce the fluoride content of water. So you'll need to contact the manufacturers to find out how much the equipment affects fluoride levels, or take a sample to a lab for testing. I have a lot of patients who call me, you know, they have well water, for example, or they're using the bottled water and they want to know how to go about having their water tested. And I believe there's a water testing a facility on Indianola Avenue, although the name escapes me right now. So anyway, keep that in mind. I think that, you know, parents feel like I'm going to give my child bottled water because I want them to be drinking pure water. I want them to be healthy, and then unknowingly they've actually set them up for tooth decay. I know that's not what you meant to do, but that's what you might be doing. An article from U.S. Science and Health says, American dentists are getting richer, but teeth are getting worse. A half century of improvement in dental health is being thrown into reverse because 100 million Americans have no dental insurance and can't afford care. This was reported in the New York Times. It's far more than a cosmetic issue. Two children died last year from infections caused by decayed teeth. Publicly supported dental clinics have month-long waiting lists. Some criticize dentists for being too concerned with profits, but dentists have their own costs to worry about and shouldn't be held responsible for health care, said one practitioner. Charity is not a health care system. Now, I know that our government is working on trying to solve this issue. Remains to be seen whether we will get it solved. But I do agree that, we have all this need. 27%, 29% of adults, 27% of kids with untreated cavities. And we need to do something about that. And hopefully the government will come to our aid. However, don't wait for that. Remember, I've said before, it's not that expensive to maintain your teeth on a regular basis. It's simply, I don't know, I think we figured out somewhere between $27 and $33 a month, if you can set that aside, to cover the cost of a couple cleanings a year, a couple exams a year, x-rays maybe every third time or so. You can afford this. Remember, it's kind of like the car. You get your car fixed when it breaks. You need to get, and you change your oil even when your car's not broken, because, and you clean it because you want to maintain it. And you need to do the same thing for yourself and for your teeth. I thank you so much for tuning in, for listening each week, Sunday mornings at 9. And tune in next week, where we'll have hopefully another informational show. And again, good luck to the Buckeye basketball team today, and good luck to the Blue Jackets later on this evening. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you after spring begins, which is this Friday. See you next Sunday.